All right, I'm going to be in the book of 1 Peter and reading out of there today. 1 Peter We've been working on the nursery a lot, and if you're willing to either be a full-time worker or a part-time worker in the nursery, you can let my wife know that. We are we had a lot of ladies help us out with that, and so we're getting there, and so if you're willing to help out with that, let my wife know that, and we can add you to the list. 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to start at verse 22, 1 Peter 1. In verse 22, let's stand together as you read the Word of God. Let's all stand. I'm going to read from verse 22 to chapter 2, verse 2. 1 Peter 1, 22, seeing that ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, an impassioned love for other Christians. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envyings and evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Let's pray. Lord, we have in our hands or in front of us the Word of God, and we just heard it. What a privilege to hear directly from God. You wrote it in a written form. People sit around a volcano and wonder what it's trying to say, and people look at the moon and wonder what it's trying to say, and they have some prophet who or priest who goes out there and says that their God said this, but Lord, you wrote it for us. And Lord, it's a privilege to have it. Thank you, Lord, that we can just read your words directly. And Lord, you also chose preaching to help us understand it and to apply it to our lives, to light it on fire and help it to ignite us. And we pray you'd help us today and speak to our hearts. Lord, we are a Bible-based church. This is the center of all we do. We believe that your word has the answers, and I pray today we'd find those answers, that each person individually would be helped and spoken to in a great way, Father. And thank you for the word of God, and thank you we have it. May your spirit move. May your spirit speak in this message to all who hear, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. You were born, it says, first of all, by a seed of the word of God. Everything in the world that most everything that recreates itself, that has children, that has birth, whether it be a flower or a tree or a human, it has a seed of some sort, and that seed contains the DNA of the one who was the parent, the father and the mother. The seed usually comes with a human. A seed comes with a man. And in many cases, it depends on how the animal kingdom is set up and different animals. But you're born by the seed of the Word of God. And that's what the Bible says, that he that is born of God cannot continue in sin because God's seed remains in him and he's born of God. In other words, you get the DNA of God when you're born again and you're different. You want to be different and you want to serve the Lord. And you have a desire for the right things. And that seed comes into you. That seed, the Bible says, that God gives you, that is planted in you and makes you come alive spiritually, that gives you a living spirit to fellowship with God, being born again, the Bible says, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, which is the Word of God. That seed that gives us life is the Word of God. Somebody gave us the Word of God and witnessed to us or preached to us and said, this is what God says. And at that point, you hopefully received Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you were born again, and now you have the seed of God in you, and you're born of the Spirit. And the Bible says that the seed is God's Word, and we have God's Word here. And this is a seed that's going to speak to your heart and change your life. And it says about this seed, it says that being born again, not a corruptible seed, verse 23, but of incorruptible. Human seed has the human faults and the human frailties and the human problems and the human everything in it. The human body dies away and the human body has problems. And so the human seed is corruptible. But the seed of God is incorruptible seed. the Bible says. See, the Bible is incorruptible, and it's one of the greatest things you'll ever hear, because there is a war against the Word of God. There is constantly things on TV where they found the new lost book of the Bible, or the Bible was changed, and literally, they're just speaking out of ignorance, even historically. They're looking for a story when they do those things. They do not just take the knowledge and the history that's very clear and shows all these things and shows what the truth is. They try to find some radical alternative just to have some kind of story so you'll be interested in it. But historically and every other way, we find that God has preserved His Word. It is not man's job to preserve the Word of God. The Word, the Bible says the words of our God are pure words. As silver tried in the furnace, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The Bible says the word of our God stands forever. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth away, but the words of our God stand forever. The Bible says in Psalms 119, verse 85, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. See, the if man was in charge of the word of God, man would mess it up. Because men mess things up. The great thing is God's in charge of his word. And what's it say? Being born again of incorruptible seed, verse 24, for all the flesh is of grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. See, it says that thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. This Bible and the 66 books in it, God said, I'm going to preserve it forever. People say, no, it's been changed and changed and changed. It has not been changed and changed and changed. It's the same as it was when it was written, because God preserved it. He promised he would. People say, well, it's been translated from language to language and language to language to language. It has not been translated from language to language to language to language to language. That's a lie. It was written in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, and we still have the Hebrew, the Aramaic, and the Greek. Because you take it from the Hebrew and translate it to English, and because you take it from the Hebrew and translate it to Polish, and you take it from the Hebrew and translate it into English, does not mean it went from language to language to language. It just means you took it from the originals and put it in the language, but we still have the originals. I have a Textus Receptus Greek New Testament that's the same Greek New Testament that they had in the New Testament times with the same verses here written in the Greek. It wasn't from language to language. It never was. It's still in Greek and Aramaic and Hebrew, and we still have the Greek and Aramaic and Hebrew. And they said that it had been changed and it had just been lost over time, and people added to it and took away from it. And then they found the Dead Sea Scrolls. And they found the Dead Sea Scrolls because they found out. Entire book of Isaiah, book of Daniel, books are written 600 years, 700 years before Christ. Amazing, they found that these copies in the Hebrew still read exactly the same. Which is strange. It's not normal and natural. However, God said, I'm going to preserve them. I'm not going to let man mess them up. And then he gives the two strongest warnings in the Bible. He says, if you mess with my word as a human and try to add to it or take away from it, I'm taking your name out of the book of life and adding to you the plagues of Revelation. And God takes it very seriously. And there have been people who tried to corrupt it. Adamatius Origen was one man. Other people have tried to corrupt it. But you know what? God always kept his copies of his word somewhere else. Origen tried to change the word of God, and he did it in Egypt, but God had the good copies there in Antioch, Syria. And yes, there are a few copies that are a little bit different in the Greek because of that one man, but the overwhelming majority, the received texts of the Bible are still reading the same. And the word of God is preserved. We use a King James Version here, and we read the Word of God, and we read it just like the Greek, just like the Hebrew, just like the Aramaic. Why? Because it's a miraculously kept book. Yes, earthly speaking, it'd be very difficult to keep a book that was written on three different continents by 35 different people, and yet it all agrees in perfect unity. Because God says, my word's not corruptible. I'm going to keep it because you need my words, and I'm going to keep them for you forever. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel was preached unto you. And for chapter 2, verse 1, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envyings and evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Timothy wasn't supposed to come out here Okay, got it. Timothy asked me a question this week, and it was a great question. It kind of led to this sermon. He said, Dad, how do you know when you're not a baby Christian anymore? How do you know when you're not a baby Christian anymore? I said, you know, that's a really good question. Let me think about that. And so we kind of developed a sermon around that question and kind of thought about it and studied some things and looked at it. Tell us to do some things as newborn babes. Chapter 2, verse 1. As newborn babes. Babies are wonderful and cute after a couple days. The first day, they look like a giant raisin. They're not as cute when they're first born. They're purple, and their head's weird shaped, and they're all kinds of weird colors and wrinkly, and somebody lies and says, oh, it's so cute, it looks just like you. I do not look like that. I don't look like a mutated raisin. But newborn babes, and they come out crying. But you know, not long, the one thing that satisfies them is milk. They want milk. You don't have to say, now, Susie, when you feel a pain in your tummy, I want you to start crying, and you're going to want to have milk. It's built into them. They come out wanting it, and they know what to do to get their milk. And it's amazing because newborn babes automatically desire those things, and they want those things. And as newborn babes, going to give us a few things we're supposed to do. First of all, it says lay aside. Lay aside some things. We'll do that in a minute here. But it says, wherefore, verse 1 of chapter 2, because of this, because you've been saved, being born again, verse 23, because of this, lay aside all malice and all guile. Put aside this stuff. Put aside some things in your life. It says that you should put these things aside. why should you put things aside? Well, before you grow, there's some things you need to get rid of in your life. I think of putting things aside like having something that is stuck on you, something that you don't want, something that's going to hinder you or mutate you. You remember, ever seen that the people, I think it's in Japan, the princesses, that they put the little tiny shoes on? And they leave them on their feet and make them, their feet are like this big when they're older, and they think it's some kind of royalty thing. And they squeeze their little feet, and they keep these shoes on them to stunt their growth. And if you put something on them, in Africa, they put these rings on the necks and make their necks really super long in some countries. And they do those things. Why? Because if you put something on a baby or someone very young, they can't grow around it, and they get mutated. They get warped. It forms into that thing. And as a new Christian, as a newborn babe, as a newborn Christian, one of the things you need to do is lay aside some things. Because why? Because it will hinder your growth and make it so you're not right as a Christian. When you first get saved, one of the first things God does is he starts unloading things out of your life. You need to stop this. You need to change this. And sometimes maybe it's not after you first get saved, but you're still a baby 2 or 3 years after you're saved, or maybe you were saved as a child and never really grew and came back to the Lord later, and really then you're a newborn babe still. You're a baby still, and God immediately starts trying to unload things out of your life. Laying aside some things, it says. Lay aside all malice. That's one of the hurt people, and all guile, and all hypocrisies, and all envies, and all evil speakings. Putting those things aside. And there's just things you need to get rid of, and things that helps you grow when you get these things off of you, and you get rid of these things. And then you're supposed to desire the milk. It's natural when you're growing and alive to be hungry. And it's part of life. And you desire the Word of God. It's a good evidence that you're saved. I didn't know this verse. I didn't know this concept. I just know that when I got my salvation settled, I knew I was going to heaven. I knew I'd accepted Jesus. I suddenly, and I didn't know what was even happening at the time, but I got a hunger to know the Bible. It was a strange thing. I can still remember it. It must have been 1985 in the summertime, and I began, and I got saved, and all of a sudden, for whatever reason, I went across the street to my neighbor Roman. They were a family just starting to grow in the Lord, but they were ahead of me certainly by a ways. And I'd knock on that door, and I'd go over there, and I would start. I would say, let's have a Bible study. And we would sit down, sometimes the family, usually just with him, and we'd sit there and study the Bible, and for hours. couple hours a night. Usually we'd study the Bible. We'd try to memorize things. We would work on memorizing the books of the Bible. We'd start studying scriptures. We'd ask questions. We'd look for the answers. We would go downstairs and see if anybody else knew the answers. We were just, because something happened inside where a baby comes out and says, I want food. And a new Christian should desire, the thing you desire is the Word of God. More than anything else, you want, you know, you're healthy. You know when you know someone's getting ready to pass? They lose their appetite. Sometimes you'll have a relative get older and all of a sudden they'll say, I don't want to eat. I'm not hungry. And that's a very bad sign for their health. And that's a very bad sign with a Christian when you don't have that hunger for the Word of God anymore. It means you're dying. It means you're not growing anymore. It means you're not moving forward. It means that you're not doing well as a Christian. You should want to come and hear preaching. You should want to know your, understand your Bible and read your Bible. You should want to do those things. And we should have that desire for the Word of God. I just want to give you some signs that you're no longer a baby Christian and go into this passage and some others. Number one, you have put away childish things. Wherefore, laying aside, chapter 2, verse 1. And we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, it says, When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. You lay things aside. You know you're no longer a baby Christian when you put those things aside. If I took and brought up in front of you a 16-year-old young man or an 18-year-old young lady, and I brought her up here, and she walked up, and she brought her little baba with her, you would say, girl has issues. Or if he's 30, or she was 30, and they're still using a pacifier. Can I take your binky out? And they're 30 years old. You say, something's wrong. Why do you have that? That's for babies. That's for infants. That's not for adults. And there's certain things that are for baby Christians. And for babies who are just starting out, and it's not for older Christians. And there's a lot of things we can listen to. I just want to say, at a certain point, unfaithfulness to church shouldn't be an issue anymore. That's for baby Christians. They're learning to go to church. You should just be at church all the time. Faithfulness to church. There are moral things. If somebody knew about something you do and said, you do that still? That's exactly, you're still on the passy. You're still wanting your mommy to buckle you in at 30. And it's kind of embarrassing. There are things, and I can't mention all the things because it might be just with you, but God's speaking to you, but you might know what it is, but you're just saying, enough already. Why am I still doing this? Why do I? Because it's embarrassing. Babies, you're not a baby now. You don't need milked. You don't need burped. You don't need milk burped. You don't need drink. You don't need taken over your shoulder and burped. You don't need that stuff anymore. We don't need to sing you a lullaby to bed, I hope, when you're 30. When you're an adult, you put away childish things. How many of us still like a lullaby when they go to bed? It'd still be sweet. All right. Okay, I'll give you the lullaby thing. All right. But you know, we there are things that we just say, I put away childish things. And at a certain time, can I just say, if you're embarrassed if pastor would come by and find you doing that, God's with you all the time. Just stop. There's certain things we just, you've been coming to Open Door long enough. You've been fed the Word of God. It's time to grow up. Being a baby's fun for a while, but you know, if you're still crawling at 9, it's time to get up. It's time to change. It's time to become an adult. It's time to not be a baby. It's time to get rid of some sins, some things that are in your testimony, some things that people see. It's time that you put away childish things. I've seen kids who still suck their thumb when they're getting pretty old. Going into junior high. How many still suck? Never mind, I won't ask. We do these things and we listen, it's time to not do those stuff. It's embarrassing. And as a child, as a child, you can do these things. As a baby, you can do these things. But at a certain point, It's time to become a Christian adult. Put those things away. Is there something that you have kept since you've been saved that you need to say enough already? You need to do that. And there's a lot of things it could be, but God's speaking to you and saying, you know what? This is baby stuff. This is baby stuff. And you need to stop doing that. There comes a point where a child quits wanting to be treated as a child. And I don't think that's all bad. Now, it's naturally, it's in them to become independent at a certain point. It's okay. And they need to be under authority until they're out of the house. I understand that. But you know, a child needs to be say, I can do this on my own. I can handle this. A Christian needs to say, I can do this now. I'm growing up. Number two, how do you know when you're no longer a baby Christian? You ask yourself, have you grown as a Christian? 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. You know how amazing the growth of a baby is? I thought about this, and I went and looked at Becca last night, and she was 19 inches when she was born, I think. And I was looking at her, she's not 19 inches anymore. So I looked up some statistics, and a baby, and she's a healthy baby, and pretty typical, a baby triples its weight in its first year. That's some fast growth. Some of you, never mind. But that is some fast growth, tripling your weight in a year. Why, they are growing like crazy, and they're hungry. I wish a baby you could feed it once a day. They wake you up. They want to eat this time, that time. Especially the newborns, every 3 hours, every 4 hours, in middle of the night. And we men don't hear it anyway. But the baby did cry somewhere in the middle of the night. And you were supposed to go up and help, but you didn't. You act like you were asleep and stayed in bed. And how many men do that? Okay, none of them are going to admit it. I do it. And you roll over and bump your wife and act like you accidentally did it and fall back asleep. But we men are terrible at this stuff. But you know, babies need to eat a lot of times. And you know what you find? As a new Christian, you need more Bible. You need more time in the Word, more time reading the Bible, more time praying. If you haven't matured as a Christian, you haven't grown a lot, you just start feeding in the Word of God. You'll start growing a lot. You'll start growing a lot. And you find that because have you grown as a Christian? They triple their weight and almost double their height in the first year. Can you imagine that? If you're 6 foot, if next year you were 9 feet tall, that's fast growth. And have you grown as a Christian? A healthy new Christian is really changing. Things are going away. They're getting rid of some things. New things are coming in. They're getting full of love and joy and getting rid of some unholiness. They're learning to be kind and a better child and a better parent and a better whatever they are in life. And they've become better students and better employees, and things are just changing. They're growing. The question is, if you're no longer a baby Christian, how have you grown? And I want to say desire is not growth. Wishing you would stop this isn't growth. I mean, how have you grown as a Christian? Because if you haven't grown, you can't say how you've grown since you became a Christian. You're still a baby. Most of growth happens in the first few years, and then it comes to maturing. And children grow very fast, but eventually the growth slows down, and then they're just becoming more mature and more solid and filling out as a Christian. And most of the growth and most of your big decisions happen when you're young. You need to fix that stuff while you're a new Christian. Because a lot of times growth slows down in Christian's life. Why? Because they've gotten rid of the bad things and gotten the good things in, and now they're fine-tuning. They're still changing. They're still growing. But have you grown? And how have you grown? Or are you still a baby, just still trying to get your baby steps going? You know you've taken these growth steps. One of the growth steps is overcoming the devil. Overcoming the devil. I'm going to read out of 1 John, which is just after 1 Peter, a couple books. 1 John, you've overcome Satan. You've got some victories. You've got some medals in your spiritual closet there to show things you've won. 1 John chapter 2, verse 13, I write unto your fathers because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you little children, because you have known the Father. I've written to you fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I've written to you young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. By the time you're a young man spiritually, you've overcome Satan. I want to ask you, have you gotten the victory over Satan? Does Satan occasionally beat you up and occasionally hit you, but in general, you've defeated him? Because I want to say, you're supposed to overcome Satan, the Bible says here. You have overcome that wicked one. And you know what? Greater is he that is in us. Greater is Jesus than Satan. Amen? Amen. If Jesus is greater than Satan, we shouldn't continue to be beat up. He might hit us, but we're hitting back. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. If you're not no longer a baby, you can say, I have gone unto victory and defeated Satan in these things. I've done this thing. I didn't want to go soul winning. Now I'm a soul winner. I didn't go to church faithfully. Now I go to church faithfully. I was mistreating my family. Now I treat them kindly. I used to be inconsistent in my prayer, and now I have a prayer life. I have got joy now. I have gone forward. And not saying you're perfect and you got it all together. You're saying, I have overcome. I have overcome. And I'm going forward for God. And you begin to grow as a Christian. You overcome the devil. We said, number one, have you put away childish things? Number two, have you grown as a Christian? Number three, have you begin to know the Father? 1 John chapter 2, where we are right now, verse 13. At the end of the verse says, I write unto you little children because you have known the Father. Because you have known the Father. Verse 14, I've written unto you fathers because you have known him that is from the beginning. At both steps, both as little children and as fathers, we find out you have known the Father. You have known the Father. You know, when my children are born, I've been in there a lot in those delivery rooms with all my kids. When I get in there, you know what's crazy? I have to tell that kid I'm Dada. Pick that thing up, a little raisin, and say, I'm Dada. And he goes, didn't say, hi, Dad. Didn't acknowledge me. It takes a little while for them to know who I am. And after a while, I don't know when the point is, Rebecca, Ron is Mama's girl. Rebecca is Daddy's girl. And when she sees me, she smiles. And every time she sees me, she just loves me to death. And at a certain point, she just knew who I was. Now, another guy might walk up by her and put his arms out, but she'll go, or she won't want to go to them. She knows me. She sees her not nearly as handsome as me. And she sees the difference there. And what is funny, I don't know what's funny about that. And she sees that, and she goes, and she knows me. And she knows my voice now. And she knows me better and better. Now, my older kids, they know me way better. Now they will crack my joke before I crack it. Because they know what I'm going to say. Or they'll say, I know you're going to say this. Why? Because they know me better. And they know me better and better and better. And I want to say, the Christian life is knowing God. And knowing him personally. Do you really know the Lord personally? An infant does not know his parents, but as they grow, they know their father. And I want to say, Christianity, I'm not asking of you, and it's part of laying aside, and we talked about that, but I want to say, Christianity is not just that you aren't drinking, smoking, and chewing, and running around with those who are doing, and that's not the whole Christian life. Do you know him? I'm not asking if you have are stop with the bad stuff, that's baby stuff, but I'm saying, do you know God? Do you know your Father in heaven? Do you really understand what he's like? Do you have a close personal walk with him? Do you talk to him and know what he's saying to you? Do you know him personally? The Christian life is about knowing your Father. And that Paul said, I've suffered the loss of all things that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering in Philippians 3 and 4. Listen, we've got to know God. And if you're not a baby anymore, you now know the Father. But some of us maybe, and when I was first saved, God was a mystery. I didn't know him personally. But it's about knowing him. Do you know, when you're not a baby anymore, you know the Father. You have a relationship, you talk, you know each other, it's intimate. He speaks to you, you speak to him. You understand where you guys are spiritually. You're going through things together. Sometimes you're wrestling with God over some things. But it's a walk, and you know him. You ever get to know somebody so intimately that you can almost have a conversation with them without saying anything? The more you get to know God, You're just together all the time. And somebody might say something, say, that's not God. God's not like that. You might not even have, not even have a Bible verse to say God's not like that, but you know him. You know him. And then somebody says there is no God, and you're going, I know him. What do you mean there's no God? You know God, and you're not a baby Christian anymore. Next, you know you're not a baby anymore. And is there anything wrong with being a baby? No. Babies are great. We like new Christians. Are they a lot of work? Yep. Are they maintenance? Oh yeah, new Christians are tough. And we have some new Christians kids in the church, and they're still kind of rough. And we have adults sometimes, they're new Christians. And but you know what? Babies are good. Babies are work though. Making bottles and changing diapers and holding them, and sometimes you can hold them all you want and they're gonna cry anyway. And the only thing you can do at that point is duct tape. I mean, it's just to keep them, hold them while they cry. And these kids, it's okay. There's nothing wrong with being a baby Christian. It's just you got to keep growing and not stay a baby Christian. Because being a baby is great, but if you're still in diapers at 20, it's not good. Amen? Amen. It's growth. You want to grow out of stuff. And so it's good to be a baby, but you got to grow. Next, are we still babies? Are you beginning to teach and have influence? Teach and have influence. Book of Hebrews and chapter 5. One of the steps of maturity where we see now they're getting somewhere. Now they're really growing. Now they're, is you know what it is? It's saying, I need to go talk to them. I got to teach them something. You know what? They need my help. I think I could help that person. That's when you're getting older. Babies are not concerned about anybody except themselves. You ever seen a baby say, Mama, she want my sucker. Can you give it to her? Two babies, one toy, big problems. Because babies are selfish. As you become older, hopefully you become more unselfish. Some don't. Some are still babies and selfishness is all about them. And I see adult grown-ups, as we would call them, but they're not adults, selfish. But as you become an older Christian, you now think about others. And you begin to help others. This is Hebrews 5, verse 12. For when at the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Strong meat belongeth unto them that are of full age, even by who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. For when at the time you ought to have been teachers, it says, you need one to teach you, give you milk again. You ought to be teachers. You want to go help somebody. You begin to grow up. You begin to get mature. You begin to have influence. I remember there was some point where all of a sudden I was going and saying, can you tell me how this works? And can you answer my Bible question about this? And I don't know about this. And boy, I'm trying to overcome this. And boy, I'm a mess with this. And all of a sudden something just started changing where it was like, hey, I know the answer to that. Hey, let me tell you what the Bible says about this. And then, you know what? I started witnessing to people. And then I got more and more Bible knowledge. Then I was able to, and people started coming to me as a teenager for counseling. And then I began to teach Sunday school and win people to Christ and disciple people. And boy, as I began to teach, I started growing way more because I need to learn more to teach more people. But something changed where I wasn't a baby anymore because babies can't teach anybody. Babies are always learning. Babies are always learning. And we see that. One of the things we found with children, it really helped us when we really realized this. When you have a big family like ours, and our kids are a long way apart. My kids are 18 and 1 year. And so I have a big separation between my kids' age, all the different ages we have. In that, one of the things you realize is it is very good for your older children to begin to take care of the younger children. It's very good for them. Because they begin to learn responsibility and learn the importance of respect and obedience. And they begin to grow up as they begin to take care of younger children. And they tell their younger brother and sister, no, that's stupid, don't do that. They realize that mom and dad are right, that is stupid. Was I that dumb? And that's good. And they mature in that. And some of the most mature people you'll find later in life came from a family where they had to take care of people. Some of you, your grandma or people like that, they might have actually had their mom die, because a lot of ladies died younger ages. And your grandma or your mom took care of a whole family by herself and was the mom at 13, 15. Those people became incredibly competent later as adults. They did. Sometimes we find on the ministry work, we're finding kids that are 12, 13, 11. Mom's a drug addict, and they're taking care of the kids and responsible. And it's a bad situation. It's a terrible situation. It's not good. But what I'm going to say, when you begin taking care of others, you grow up. And it shows you've grown, because you're not just thinking about yourself. You're thinking about others. Look not every man on the things of himself, but every man also on the things of others. You begin to teach and have influence. Next, you begin to know the deeper things of God. We just read this in Hebrews 5, verse 12. For when, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have one that teach you again, which be the first principles, the oracles of God, and such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, but strong meat belong to them that are full age. Now, I am an omnivore, as all humans are. We have these teeth here, and we have these canine teeth here. That's because God gave us meat to eat. Hallelujah. I like ribs, pork ribs. Oh, man. Baptizing gravy. I like hamburger. You know what? Strangely enough, I didn't grow up eating anything nice. I don't like steak very much. Okay, tell me your thing. Everybody say it. If I ate the right steak, I would like it. Everybody says that to me. I like hamburger better than steak, but I'll eat steak. I like fish. I like basically anything. Pig is especially good for some reason. And I like all kinds of food. I like all kinds of meat. You know, meat is, and I like chicken, and I like all kinds of things. My baby's born. You know, I hope my kids grow up and eat. My wife can't eat hamburger. She can't stand it. So I share that joy with my children. Okay. You know what? Not when they're babies. I don't give the raisin bacon. Now, if the raisin becomes a sane child someday, will they like bacon? Everybody who has a brain likes bacon. It is the candy of meat. Amen? Bacon's a Baptist essential. And we love bacon. But you know what? It's not for a baby. Meat belongs to people who can chew, who have teeth. Babies like milk. And the deeper things of God, there are some amazing things in Scripture. Prophecy, the end times, the deeper things, the priesthood, the allegories, the Old Testament. There's amazing, deep, deep things in Scripture. But you know what? You don't get to those things until you've had the milk. You need to understand the deity of Christ and that Jesus is God and salvation, that Jesus is the way to heaven, and the Word of God is that the Bible is the Word of God, and that there's a Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You need to understand the basics of the Bible and get those things down. If you're wrong on the fundamentals, you'll be wrong on everything else. You've got to start with getting those basic things down. And you get to handle the meat. You understand deeper things. First, you can handle the deeper preaching. You can understand when somebody's giving you deep, deep preaching. Next, you can have discernment. It says at the end of verse 14, it says, even those who by reason of their use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You can see in a spiritual realm with great discernment. You have very great common sense in the spiritual realm. You know what's right. You know what's foolish. You know what's wrong. You don't do foolish things. You have discernment because you've learned, you've grown up, and you have by reason of use. By reason of use. You can see things because you've been doing this a while and you understand. And you don't do off-the-wall kooky things. And you don't tell people bad counsel. And you know what's right and you know what's wise. And you're not crazy and up and down and making foolish decisions, because you have your senses exercised to discern good and evil. People don't destroy your spiritual life because they drag you down. Because you can discern who they are and what they're trying to do. And you have those things. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:4, it says, not blown about by every wind of doctrine and the cunning sleight of men, but grow up in him in all things. You don't change your doctrine all the time. Listen, the Bible says what it says about salvation, about the Holy Spirit, about how to get to heaven, about how to have a family, and these things never change. If your doctrine is changing all the time, you're not mature. Because the Bible never changes. God never changes. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And you're not changing what you're going to do, what kind of church you're going to go to, what you believe, what is right and wrong. It doesn't change. And by the way, you don't go around and look for what the Bible says, not for a church to fit what you want. You look for one that lines up with the Word of God, and you stay with it, and you stick with these things, because you're not blown about by every wind of doctrine. We have seen, listen, Christians in America traditionally have been very solid doctrinally until 15 years ago. And now, there is heresy all over Christianity that they would never have fallen for 25 years ago when I was first a Christian. The Christian bookstore is full of bad doctrine. The Christian television is full of bad doctrine. But the people who have great marketing come in as the church and sell pop psychology and sell modernism and sell worldliness as spiritual, and Christians say, that's awesome. I can do that and be a Christian. A church can be like that. That's great. And why? Because they're babies. Christians with sense, and by the way, it's not just in Baptist churches. Christians with sense all over Christianity are saying, what are you guys believing? You believe prosperity gospel? Have you not read your Bible? Jesus didn't prosper. Paul didn't prosper. Matter of fact, none of the New Testament Christians prospered. They're all suffering. What are you talking? But they know the Bible. And the new doctrines and the new cute things and the new way to build a church and making the church like the world and all the little fads that come and go below nowadays, what happens is those who stay solid with what the Bible says, they are out of the mainstream for a while they're blown, while 60% of Christianity is blown away. And guess what? That fad goes away and they're blown back and say, yeah, you know what? You're right. And then the new fad comes. You guys are just left behind. You just don't know what's going on. Why they're blown away again. Mature Christians aren't blown around. The Bible says it. We believe it. We're going to do it. Okay, follow your fad. We're going to stick with the Bible. Just because it's cute and just because a great marketer gets up there and says it's the way, and because they put the word Jesus in there and it sounds spiritual, doesn't mean it's biblical. You have discernment, and you know what it says, and you're not blown about. And the Bible says, in growing up in him. And to do that, when I was just yesterday, this happens all the time. My oldest daughter's in Guatemala right now, but I still have two of my daughters and Timothy are older kids, and 16, 13, and 11. And yesterday, I had those three older kids with me most of the day, and my wife was just with the two babies at home all day, and I called home. And she has three less children at home, okay? So I'm thinking she's in gravy time. She's having a great time. This is relaxing. This is easy. This is nothing. She's used to all the kids being there and everything like that. And I said, honey, I called her. I said, how's it going? It's okay. I said, are you getting a lot done? You having a great time with just the two babies there? She says, no, the older kids aren't here. I said, well, I know. That's why I thought you'd be like, you know, having a ton of time to do stuff and just enjoying snuggling up the little ones and spending time with them. She says, no, the older kids aren't here. I'm busy like crazy taking care of the little ones. In my mind, I forgot my older kids are very mature and are very helpful. And they just see the diaper needs change. They just go do it. They go help cook. They go do this. They go and dad needs this and whatever, you know, when dad sits down in the recliner, it's permanent. And so there I am. And so they're out, you know, they're fetching things for dad because he can't get up because he always sits on glue every time he sits in that chair. And so, well, I sound like a terrible husband and dad, don't I? All right, good. And to the women, yes, the men, no. Yes, like a man. And we're lazy bums when we get inside. And but then I realized, you know how helpful those kids are. They're a blessing. I want to say this. Mature Christians, once you're no longer a baby, when you're a baby, as a Christian, you're a lot of work. You gonna come to church today? Oh, I'm kind of busy today. We're all busy. Come to church. You're hanging out with who? You know better. You can't hang around with them anymore. Did you read your Bible this week? Come on. What's that on TV? You shouldn't watch that. Yeah, they're a lot of work. New Christians are. They get themselves, go back, mess things up. They undo the progress. You push them all the way up the hill, and then they lay on their side. This is fun. Roll down the hill again. But then they start becoming mature. Babies, oh, they're a lot of work. Cry all night for mom. And they're a lot of work, and they need diaper change and fed and the bottle, and then they get in the bottle, then they decide they want to shake the whole bottle upside down and make everything wet, and they just do all kinds of crazy things as babies. Oh, they're a lot of work. But boy, they get older. And now this week, I'm out there digging a trench in my yard, and I got an 11-year-old boy. And 11-year-old boys can dig. And you know what? We got babies, and I got older girls. And older girls, when they're not spoiled, are amazing at taking care of babies. Hallelujah. And they wake up in the night sometimes. Hallelujah. Again. And they're amazing. They're wonderful. And we find some of our best nursery workers are the teenagers. And they're great. And if you want to work as a teenager in the nursery, let me know. And then they grow up. And Christians, they're rough at the start. But boy, then they start growing. And they're growing. And now they can help in the church. Now they learn how to vacuum the church. Woohoo! That's good. I'll take a vacuum. Now all of a sudden they learn, you know what? Hey, pastor, I can pick them up. And they can pick them up, and they're not going to smoke a cigarette in the car with the person they're picking up even. It's going to be a great trip. They're bringing them to church. And now they're growing. And now all of a sudden one day they say, hey, pastor, can I go with you witnessing? I want to see how you do that. And I take them witnessing. And all of a sudden, you know, we get done witnessing. The person gets saved, and the door shuts, and they go, blank, that was awesome. And he goes, and you say, they're still babies. But then a couple months later, they even clean up their language. And then all of a sudden they say, hey, I think I can take somebody with me and I can go witnessing. And then one day somebody doesn't show up for their class or we got somebody sick and I say, you know what, can I have you this Sunday teach a class? Here's a lesson. Oh, me teach a class? Oh, man, it's going to be crazy. And pretty soon they're teaching a class. Sometimes God calls in the ministry. Sometimes they're me. And boy, was I ever a torment for my pastor when I was a new Christian. What a nightmare. I was so much work for him. But babies grow up. And if you will continue to grow up, not only will you not be, and we're glad to take care of you as a baby for a while. We don't be changing your diapers when you're 16. Time to grow up and become a worker. Time for you to be involved. Time for you to do a great work. So are you a baby Christian? Have you put away childish things? Have you grown as a Christian? Have you begun to know the Father? Are you beginning to teach and have influence? Have you begin to know the deeper things of God and have discernment and be able to help other people understand the Bible? Listen, grow up and you become useful for God's kingdom. And that's wonderful. Not just trying to keep you out of trouble. That's baby stuff. It should be now. You are now keeping others out of trouble. Grow up as a Christian. Are you a mature Christian? Are you still a baby Christian? If you are, you know what? God understands for a while, but now it's time to grow up in him in all things. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the wonder of what it's like to change the Christian, and what a wonder it is to see people in this room who at one point was just hoping they'd show up on Sunday, and now they're vital to the church's operation. Lord, thank you for helping us to grow up. Thank you in the spiritual life you teach us with the illustration of as a newborn babe. I pray we'd begin, if we're a baby, to get in the milk of the word and begin to put away things and grow and mature, Father. Help us be people of influence and mature and helpful for your kingdom. We thank you for the word and what it's taught us. Please, Lord, help us to become mature, godly Christians and influential and helpful to your kingdom. And we pray for your blessing on these things in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Heads are bowed.